Florence Arts, Culture, and Entertainment, otherwise known as FACE, of course, are the presenters for the big winter music festival that we have every January. And I tell you what, we're excited to introduce you to Ed Boland and Rachel Pearson, who are here to talk about the one coming in January of 2026. Good day to both of you.
Good morning, George.
Thank you, George, again. And I'm thrilled to be here, especially because Ed is my co-producer. And as I said off air, for a guy that says he can't carry a tune in a leaky bucket, he sure knows how to pick bands and sign them up.
Hmm. So that was your primary focus this time around?
Well, it's an interesting, I guess, experience with regard to my getting acclimated to bluegrass for the most part.
What was your favorite before you got acclimated?
Well, I went to a lot of concerts growing up. My very first concert was an Alice Cooper concert back in the early 70s. But all the way through, you know, even a lot of different bands, probably 100 different concerts, and all the way down to Liza Minnelli in Las Vegas, of all crazy things.
But during that time, you never really had the bluegrass bug? You
know? Oh, no. I knew nothing about bluegrass for the most part. My experience was always around rock bands and contemporary music for the most part. And I really enjoyed music. I listened to it a lot. But when I was very young, I attempted to learn a couple of different instruments, and I just did not have the dexterity, perhaps. That's what I accredited it to, that I just couldn't become a musician. But I was always partial to hanging around with musicians and, as I said, attending a lot of different events. Got to the First Us Festival, which was kind of cool back in the day when saw a lot of bands. It felt like a mini Woodstock. But
what was your first introduction to bluegrass then?
Well, it was actually there was a volunteer opportunity at the event, I think, back in 2022.
Yes.
And so I went there, and I ended up sitting as a security guy between the lobby and the backstage. And so all I could do is peripherally hear the music coming through the walls. And the bands would come through because there was a green room next to us, and I had an opportunity to kind of interact with them. But that was really my only experience with bluegrass. And then I went to a follow-up meeting to that with the producer at that time, Kirk Malinick, and Rachel. And I guess I got volunteered into joining the cast of production crew. So that was my first experience.
So now this year you also had experience in choosing some of the bands.
Yep.
Now, did you have to do a lot of research to figure that out, or did you listen to a lot of YouTube videos?
Well, actually, it was we had a couple of referrals from some folks that had been to some festivals up in Washington. So I looked at a couple of those bands. And then, of course, once you get on YouTube, you tend to get into a genre, and next thing you know, you're getting fed different bands that you might want to – that are – similar. So I would just kind of go down those rabbit holes for the most part, listening to some music, and I identified a few different bands. And I actually did this the year before as well, managed to find a couple of different bands. And it's really, you know, random more than anything, but it's really about listening to them and whether they enthused me to want to hear more of their music, or what I did hear, you know, how did it did it trigger something in me? So it's really, you know, it's an emotional thing, right? That's
right.
Technically.
So I know that when I listen to music, I can get a song that I really like, but if I see the performer performing it, it usually generates even more excitement for me. So if you find someone that can also perform as well as sing, you know that's going to and wow the crowd.
Exactly, yeah. And it's, you know, and my experience, again, with all the concerts that I've seen, I think, over the years is, you know, when you see bands that come out and they just knock it out of the ballpark on their first or second song, I mean, that sets the stage for the whole rest of the concert. And I think that's so important when they're trying to connect with the audience and build up the – build up the venue.
I don't know if you heard Bruce Springsteen talk about why they called him Mr. Magic, but he looks at, he says it's the environment. It's an empty place.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd comes in, you come in, nothing's ever happened there before, and you have a chance to make this an experience for yourself and for everyone there,
mm-hmm.
and the magic happens.
Yes, I've seen Bruce Springsteen 4 times over the years in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Toronto, and I think again in LA.
You have to go see him in New Jersey.
Oh, yes, I would agree, yes. So, yeah, he's one of my favorites, and of course... Yeah, I mean, just to be able to experience that. It's a relationship thing, right? Once you get into a concert, I mean, you really can get connected with the artist. And so back to the whole idea of bluegrass, listening to these musicians, I guess what drew me to the music itself is just the quality of their music. They are such amazing musicians.
I need to really jump in here and say he found this goofy little band that nobody else knew about called Crying Uncle Bluegrass Band. When I say goofy, it was four teenage boys 3 years ago, 3.5 mm-hmm. years ago. And they were touring in Japan, of all places. And he got a call back and said, yeah, we can do your festival. And it was this 20-year-old kid now. He had turned 20. They are now like one of the hottest bands. Are playing all over the country, and we had them back again for 2025. And they keep getting better.
Yeah. And that's the thing about bluegrass. I mean, when you're in a rock and roll band, and I've seen a few and known people in rock and roll bands, you know, you can make a few mistakes if you're loud enough. But with bluegrass musicians, they have got to be top-notch musicians. And when you find them, you know they're going to wow the crowd because they just have that. I mean, when someone picks the guitar or plays the stand-up bass or the violin or the banjo, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know they're good.
That's a very good observation for sure regarding how they stand out relative to maybe different genres.
Different genres, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the lineup. What kind of things did you find for us, Ed?
Well, let's see. We had a number of different bands that we hadn't identified historically, but again, going through the YouTube things, we've got an amazing Saturday night buildup, and that is going to be a sister band called the Burnett Sisters, and I believe they're out of Nashville. And so they're going to be opening for another amazing band that recently played Winterfest, and that's where I got we got a referral basically to look at them, and that is a band by the name of Authentic Unlimited, and they're an all-male vocal, intense bluegrass band, and I think they're going to probably just – they're going to wow the crowd on Saturday nights. And then with that, we've got some local bands that are going to be playing on Saturday afternoon, including Tuesday String Band. They're a local band that has come to our Thursday jam sessions over the last couple of years. And we liked them so much, we thought we're going to put them on stage.
We're going to put them on stage, and they're another band that they showed up, and you know, there's nothing like seeing them live. And they've been there 3 years, and they got better every year. They're called Tuesday because they have a Tuesday bar date in Monmouth where they live, and they all work professionally as musicians, which usually means teaching. You know, they don't record a lot. They're coming, and we're excited about them because we feel like they could really fly, not just because of our festival, but because of their talent. And then Midnight 45 is an interesting group. It's actually Dale and Susan Adkins, who are kind of well-known in the bluegrass world of Oregon. I think they live in Sisters or Band, I can't remember. And their son, Josh, who has been here as part of True North, the band, and he's awesome. And then a man named Jared Woodman, who has got an incredible tenor voice. So even though that name is not familiar, Midnight 45, the people on stage will be familiar to bluegrass fans in Oregon. So we hope that they are also wildly successful.
Yep. And then also that same afternoon, we're going to have Tony Furtado and friends. And Tony played last year's concert, and he was such a smashing success that we decided to bring him back. And he's also going to basically host or basically perform for our kids' concerts. And, of course, every year we do two kids' concerts for the middle and
it's a K through
elementary.
Five.
K through five
for Reedsport, Florence, and Mapleton.
Yeah, and we'll get 700 to 800 students that'll get exposed to bluegrass for sometimes their first concert. So that's a pretty cool thing to do. And so Tony's going to be a running point on that for us. And then on Friday night to open the show, we've got a band we're bringing back from last year, Thunder and Rain, an all-girl performing group. And they would, again, they knocked it out of the park last year. And so we thought we'd bring them back to open up the festival. And then go ahead with regard to Liam.
A young man named Liam Purcell, he's about 22. He just got out of the Berklee School of Music, and he's very positively assertive about his music. Liam Purcell on Cane Mill Road, and they're coming, and they're out of Nashville, and we can't wait.
Yeah. And then, of course, with that, we'll have workshops. Many of these performers will be conducting those workshops, basically talking everything from about songwriting to how to perform to
harmonies.
It runs the gamut with respect to what they might share from musical insights. And then, as we mentioned, the Thursday night open mic. It's an amazing little get together of all local talent and not so much local talent occasionally, but they come in and everyone gets to play a song or two for over the course of maybe 3 hours, and mm-hmm. It's really an enjoyable exercise, and that's free to the public. And each year we seem to get more and more people. We've had to double our space from last year, so we'll see what happens this one.
If it keeps growing, maybe just use the main auditorium.
Yeah. Yeah, could put people up on stage. Yeah.
We could, but then it would lose that intimacy because it's supposed to be – it's called Take the Stage, and it's supposed to be like a bar, basically.
For the most part, yes. Yeah.
But
pretty cool. All right, so the dates of this are
– they are going to be on
22nd of January is the kids' concert and the Kiwanis Kids Concerts and the Take the Stage, so that's a Thursday. Mm-hmm. 23rd is the opening night, Thunder and Rain and Liam Purcell, and that's the Friday night. And there's also an Oregon Pacific Bank Company concert, which will be done by the Tuesday
Band. Tuesday Band, yep.
Saturday is the 24th, and that's afternoon with three bands, and then evening with Burnett Sisters and Authentic Unlimited. And sprinkled through that is the sequenced before that is workshops. And we don't have things that are overlapping other than jam sessions, and those are open to the public and people can come or go if they want to. But there's never a time when you'll say, oh, I'm missing something. You just come in and we have everything in a sequence, so nobody has to miss anything.
Yeah. When will tickets be available?
Our tickets have gone on sale on June 2nd. Early bird pricing, which will extend through basically September 15th, or until such time as we perhaps sell them out. That'll be for the weekend passes. And then,
so you have a certain amount allotted for that pre-sale.
We do, okay. Yes. And then after September 15th, we'll open up the rest of the festival seating for both weekend passes and the individual shows, which will have individual pricing. And that information will be available on our website, wintermusicfestival.org, or at the Florence Event Center box office.
Okay. And we're not listing prices on our website or on this any advertising simply because of the new laws with honesty and transparency and ticket prices. So it's better to just go to Afton and see exactly what you're going to pay.
Right, because there might be a certain amount of fee or something that's associated with that.
There's fees for the event center, for the Afton system, credit card.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes another fee might get on there. It's not onerous, but it is annoying. Yeah. When people find
everyone's got to get their bite of the apple.
That's right. But it's the new law, and it should, once people get used to the new law, They'll say, okay, I get this now. It's going to take everybody a year or so to get used to that. Yeah.
And so I'll just say in closing, I mean, if you haven't had a chance to experience bluegrass, come on out. It's an amazing event. We hear from artists that come and say that in many instances, this is the best music festival that they perform at anywhere, which is very – I mean kudos to you, Rachel, who is going into your 23rd year of participating and helping to produce this. That's an amazing feat. But to everyone, just the music is amazing. The environment is a lot of fun. And I think you'll come away with it with a whole new appreciation for a whole new type of music that probably wasn't on anybody's radar when they stepped up to it.
All right. Well, thank you both. January, you're looking forward to it already, and you can get your ticket passes now, right? Where can they go to get them again?
Wintermusicfestival.org.
That'll give you the information, and then the Event Center, also their website, eventcenter.org, is where the tickets, where the Afton system lives.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
In the next segment of Our Town, we'll talk with the folks responsible for First Step, finding temporary homes for people who are looking for permanent solutions on the June edition of Our Town.